comes the sun, little darling. Here comes the sun, I say.
So, hey everybody, welcome to an early edition of Voices from the Frontlines, a commentary and discussion of Bernie Sanders' speech at the Democratic National Convention last night. In some ways, I'm calling it both the limits and the capitulation of white populism to Hillary Clinton. A sad end in some way to the Sanders Revolution. But with a lot of respect for all he's achieved. And an important thing about Voices from the Front Lines is we're going to play his speech and you'll make your own decisions because it's Voices from the Front Lines. And we certainly want to hear Bernie Sanders' voice. So you're going to hear a lot of that throughout the show. I'm going to start with a little conversation about democracy, dissent, suppression, censorship in the movement, in the media, and try to counterpose Voices from the Front Lines to some other listservs and shows that have not been open to all the different points of view in the movement, including mine and that of my own organization, the Labor Community Strategy Center. It's relevant because here's another perfect example. We're spending an hour discussing Bernie Sanders. I have had a very ambivalent attitude to this Bernie Sanders, but he had a bunch of great arguments. Of course, why would give him an hour? Number one, 2.5 million Americans who helped fund his campaign, 8 million individual campaign contributions, $27 for the average contribution, which you hear him say himself, 13 million Americans who voted for his political revolution, and he walked in with 1,856 delegates. Terrific, Bernie. I mean, just congratulations. You had a vision. People laughed at you. To say you outperformed is the understatement of the year. I mean, you just did great. We should all outperform our own visions. So one thing you need to know about starting with me and my understanding is that I'm desperately trying to build a broad united front, an anti-racist, anti-imperialist, anti-fascist united front. I think that the United States is, therefore, a racist, imperialist, and often leaning towards fascist country. But a united front means that, to start with, many of the people in the united front don't even agree with what I just said. But they're against the war in Iraq, or they're against the war in Vietnam, or they're not completely in favor of suppressing police violence, but they'll help us on some things in the fight against racism. So the first thing is, if you want to build a united front, you better really like the other people in it. I know like is a hard word, but at least have grudging respect. The second thing is that respect people's work. The reason we call our show Voices from the Front Lines as opposed to just progressive voices or radical voices is because our particular niche is people doing work on the ground building a base. If I disagree with you, but you're doing something on the ground to build a movement, I want you on the show because, first of all, if you want to be on the show, you need a voice from your point of view, and I want to provide it for you. The second thing, we call it a conversation, not an interview, and certainly not an infomercial. I may disagree with you. I may challenge your assumptions. But if you're in struggle, I'm going to do everything I can to help you. So we tend to focus on Black and Latino-led or Black and Latino-based struggles against police state, on environmental justice and climate justice. But I'll sort of give an example because there are some forces that have been trying to keep me off their shows, keep the Strategy Center off their shows, keep us off listservs, preventing our point of view from being in the broad marketplace of ideas because they're afraid of it because they think it actually could be pretty compelling and could win some of their own listeners or their own members away. So they don't even want people to know we exist. So that's been a hard part of my work and our work at the Strategy Center because we're winning some tremendous victories, but we're not getting tremendous media coverage. In fact, some forces are keeping us off their shows. But on the positive, in studio with me is Channing Martinez, and I urge you to read his recent article in the Black Commentator, www.blackcommentator.com. And Channing, you better say the name accurately of your article.
Me, Jesse Williams, the organizer, the celebrity, and you.
And what's your basic premise?
The basic premise is that while Jesse Williams' comments were a good start, we shouldn't be using all our resources and social media to pump him up while at the same time social movements aren't getting the same type of actual attention, right? We in the Strategy Center just won a big victory where we got a school police department to return its weapons. Where were these media outlets on that, right? Where was the viral, however you call it on Twitter on that, right? But Jesse Williams says one simple statement about, I don't agree with America's racism. Well, everyone knows that. And that goes viral.
So, I agree with Channing. And what we're trying to say here is we're trying to win arguments. You see, I know they're going to say, well, you guys are bitter. You're angry. Yeah, we're bitter and angry because we're not winning. We've been saying there's a million black people in prison for 8 to 10 years now. We've been saying Michelle Alexander wrote The New Jim Crow. Have we ended The New Jim Crow? We've been saying that climate is getting warmer and we're now moving towards not just 2 degrees, but 3 degrees. Is it getting better? Is it getting cooler? No. So we want the people that are on the ground doing the work to get the publicity, and we're going to fight those forces that are going to try to keep us out. So having said that, that's enough on that, but just I wanted to make that point, that part of winning the battle on the ground is winning the battle of ideas and winning the battle of coverage. So we want to thank Peter Gamble, the editor of Black Commentator, who's been wonderful to us. We want to thank Jeffrey Sinclair, the editor of Counterpunch, who's been very good. We want to thank Brian Magers, our editor at Huffington Post, who publishes our stuff. And we want to thank the Greenville Post, which is a new outlet for our work that's been really great to us and published my article, Trumbo, Hollywood's Anti-Communist Tribute to Itself. So this is the preface to say this, that Voices from the Front Lines is trying to bring people in from different points of view who are leading actual struggles on the ground to give them credit, to give them attention, to help them win their battles, to get them the attention they are asking for to support the campaigns against real enemies. And as I've been saying to you all who listen, we don't want listener-sponsored radio. We want organizer-sponsored radio. So I've been pushing listeners to say, please go beyond listening to acting, okay? So, as Spike Lee would call him, Brother Bernie Sanders.
Let me begin by thanking the hundreds of thousands of Americans who actively participated in our campaign as volunteers. Thank you. Let me thank the 2.5 million Americans who helped fund our campaign with an unprecedented 8 million individual campaign contributions. Anyone know what that average contribution was? Right. $27. And let me thank the 13 million Americans who voted for the political revolution. Giving us the 1,846 pledged delegates here tonight.
So the first comment I want to make, again, is not just congratulations to Bernie Sanders, but congratulations to all the people. If you see the actual video of these young people out crying and angry and hurt and trying to figure it all out, I welcome to the club. The Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party tried to launch a reform of the Democratic Party and was beaten back. I would argue to you that in many ways your movement was beaten back and Bernie Sanders is placed in a very difficult position, which we'll get to. I'm not saying what he should and shouldn't be doing. That's not my main point here. But for those of you who were involved, you should be very proud of yourselves. You carried out beyond any possible dream. you almost beat Hillary Clinton, folks. She's a very powerful force. She did have President Obama behind her, who was actually pretty decent about staying out of a lot of it. As you see from the WikiLeaks, you had the whole Democratic Party trying to sabotage you. So, yeah, that's a whole nother conversation. But I want to start with one thing I want you to listen to. Note how specific Bernie is about numbers when it comes to what he wants you to understand. And listen to how vague he is when he doesn't want you to understand. So he goes into great detail. 2.5 million Americans. Later on, he will not tell you there's 1 million black people in prison. Let me thank the 2.5 million Americans, the 8 million contributions. What was that average contribution? $27. That's good, Bernie. Good work. 13 million Americans who voted for the political revolution, but not 13 million black people whose families are in prison or who are in prison. There's no numbers when we get to black people and Latinos and immigrants. He's all of a sudden has no understanding of math. 1,846 pledged delegates here tonight. He counted every one. So when you listen to the rest of the speech, notice he's apparently lost his inability to count when it gets to blacks and Latinos about anything specific. So let's move now to Bernie on racial justice.
It is not moral, it is not acceptable, and it is not sustainable that the top 0.1% now owns almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%. Or that the top 1% in recent years has earned 85% of all new income. That is unacceptable. That must change. This election is about remembering where we were 7.5 years ago when President Obama came into office after 8 years of Republican trickle-down economics. The Republicans want us to forget that as a result of the greed, recklessness, and illegal behavior on Wall Street, our economy was in the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression. That's where we were. That is where we were. Some 800,000 people a month were losing their jobs. 800,000 people. We were running up a record-breaking deficit of $1.4 trillion. And by the way, the world's financial system was on the verge of collapse. That's where we were when President Obama came into office. Well, we have come a long way in the last 7.5 years, and I thank President Obama and Vice President Biden. I thank them for their leadership in pulling us out of that terrible recession. Yes, we have made progress, but I think we can all agree that much, much more needs to be done.
All right, that's the beginning of Bernie's great deception. It's not acceptable what he just said. He's covering up one of the worst crimes, which is the crimes of the Obama administration for 8 years. Bernie ran, and he knew he was running against Barack Obama, not George Bush. So let me give you some numbers. When Barack Obama came into office, yes, he inherited, as they say, the greatest collapse since the Great Depression. That collapse was brought about by Bill and Hillary Clinton when they came to office to deregulate and deregulate the banks. That came under Clinton's, not under Bush. The second thing that happened is the Democrats were completely, not just complicit with, but leading the fight for NAFTA, the deregulation, the deregulatory assault. Do look at a magazine called Our Now, and Leanne Hirstman and I wrote an article about how to stop the Clinton assault. And it's a story about what the Clintons did to criminalize black people, talk about super predators, deregulate Wall Street. So, Bernie, I'm sorry. This is totally unacceptable. The second thing is that you got a lot of numbers. Let me give you additional numbers. What I'm saying is Bernie Sanders is participating in a cruel cover-up of the crimes of the Obama administration, because in the end, he's going back into the Democratic Party where he lives. He's not an independent. He's a Democrat. When Obama came to office, the crisis in the financial markets was beyond anything you can understand. The speculation was brutal. The entire credit system was falling apart. The banks had been loaning money at high interest, as you know, and having massive defaults. So the first thing you need to understand, and I'll get my numbers better, but he talked about 800,000 people losing their jobs under Bush. But did you know that over 3 million people have lost their homes under Obama, 3 million black people, because he saved the banks. He didn't save the working class. The banks are doing great. A few went out of business. But right now, when you put your money into the bank and you get your interest back, do you know you're getting less than 1%? Do you know why you're getting less than 1%? Because the government under President Obama has been loaning the banks money free. So they can pay you 1% and they can give you a 3 or 4% refinance, but they're making on a 4% refinance, they're making all 4% because the money cost them nothing to loan it to you. Did you know that President Obama has not rebuilt New Orleans and there's still over 100,000 black people who have been displaced from New Orleans? He never got them back. That's not George Bush. So Bernie Sanders was caught in a very difficult situation. He was running as a reformer, but he couldn't run against the president. He couldn't say, the upper 1% have 39%. Who gave it to them, Bernie? Barack Obama gave it to them. So the first lie, and I have to say lie of his speech, is he thanks Biden and he thanks Obama for taking us so far but not far enough, when in fact the Obama administration has wrecked the economy and created the material basis of a Trump candidacy. The Trump candidacy is not just about angry, racist white people, if only that was the problem. There is profound disintegration at the base of this country that the Obama capitalist imperialist classes carried out for 7.5 years. And now Obama is going to run along with Bernie because he's more popular even than Hillary. And they're all going to act like we're fighting against Trump. But really, we should be fighting against Obama. So I think it's pathetic to go to the Democratic convention and say there was a great crisis that the Obama administration, and for 7.5 years, President Obama has been a tool of big business, a tool of monopoly capital, and has just played around the edges. Brilliantly, I have to say, with that low-key, charming, I don't know, if I was Trayvon Martin, it might be my kid. Oh my God, he said something on race. He did nothing. President Obama, as we'll tell you later, has just agreed to put the weapons back in the police departments. He's let nobody out of prison. He's attacked whistleblowers worse than anybody after claiming he was going to run on transparency. So the first elephant in Bernie's bathtub is Barack Obama. It's bad enough to not mention him, but to mention him and thank him for the last 7.5 years, that's a capitulation. That's dishonest. In my view, that's reactionary. Okay, G, I think I've had enough of Bernie. Let's play another one.
Among many, many other strong provisions, the Democratic Party now calls for breaking up the major financial institutions on Wall Street. And the passage of a 21st century Glass-Steagall Act. It also calls for strong opposition to job-killing trade agreements like the TPP. Right. We have got to make sure that CPP does not get to the floor of the Congress in the lame duck session. Our job now is to see that strong Democratic platform implemented by a Democratic-controlled Senate. By a Democratic House and a Hillary Clinton presidency.
Well, Bernie, you're on a downhill slide. I mean, the first thing is, listen, this is Eric Mann. You're on Voices from the Front Lines. I'm in studio with my comrade, my brother, my assistant to the show is Channing Martinez. The voice you're listening to, of course, is Bernie Sanders, the once revolutionary, who's now giving essentially a concession speech to Hillary. We understand that there's a united front against Trump that the Democrats think is the most important thing to do. I am finding myself in a grudging agreement, but listening to this Democratic Party, I just want to be very clear that I still continue to say that a main danger is this Democratic Party. And there's no way that this united front against Trump does not also involve a united front against the Democrats, and we have to figure out how to do both. So let's go over what Glass-Steagall is. And, you know, for most black people, for most Latinos, for most people who are fighting for boycott, divestment, and sanctions, which we'll get to, for people fighting against brutality against women in the home, by the police, in the workplace, Glass-Steagall is somewhat, it's interesting, it's important, but for the white populace, it's one of their another great things they figure they discovered. What happened was during the 1930s, the Depression developed over the speculation of the banks. The bank took your money and invested it. So Franklin Roosevelt developed a Glass-Steagall, I believe that's how you pronounce it, Act, which said that when you give your money to the bank, they cannot invest it in speculative activity, right, to make money. Now, you can still go to your stockbroker and pee away all your money, but at least you have to separate it. It's one of the most minimum restrictions of capitalism. Capitalism still is going to fall apart, it seems. But this was a reform. But during the 1990s, they defeated Glass-Steagall. They overturned it. So now when you gave money to the bank, for all you know, the bank had invested in a Ponzi scheme. And that racist, disgusting George Bush who did that, oh, I'm sorry. That was done by Bill and Hillary Clinton. It wasn't done by George Bush. It was the Democratic deregulators. So for Bernie to say we're going to get a 21st century Glass-Steagall Act and not tell people that Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton were the ones who destroyed it, now you're Bernie, now you're moving towards lying. You're moving towards deception and lies because you're not telling the story. You don't say, Secretary Clinton, I ask you to regress and apologize for, take responsibility for what you did, and you are going to overturn it. But he acts like it just sort of disappeared by itself. This is Eric Mann. Eric at voicesfromthefrontlines.com. I'd like to hear from you. So the Clintons deregulated capitalism, not the Republicans. The second thing, we're going to have a Democratic House, a Democratic Senate. Barack Obama had a Democratic House, and he had a Democratic Senate for 2 years. Did he pass any Civil Rights Act? He deported people in the first 2 years. He increased the police in the first 2 years. So stop all the stuff about the Democrats' hands are tied by the Republicans. The Democrats and Republicans are very close. And when he keeps saying we've got to have a Democratic Senate, towards what? Towards passing the crime bills that the Clintons passed? The effective death penalty that the Clintons passed. So come on, Bernie. Your revolution is in danger of being a counter-revolution, and I mean that. So this speech gets me sick. The more I'm listening to it, it's just disgusting. Oh, I'm trying to be more of a commentator. It is moving in the direction of disgusting. But this economic, it's not just economic populism, Bernie. It's not just you bad on race. You're now lying about the historical record of the Clintons and of Obama. That's not acceptable. It's one thing if you just limit it. Finally, the thing about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, it's a long conversation. It's people that know much about all these trade deals much better than me. But I get the basic idea. It's trying to create a transnational capitalism run by U.S. imperialism. It's not the end of imperialism. It's simply a new form in which imperialism, U.S. imperialism, wants to function. I'll give you an example. When I was in Bonn, Germany, at this United Nations Climate Change Conference, one of the what's called PrepComs, I listened to a very good woman from, I'll think it for a minute, third world groups that were fighting the domination of their countries by U.S. imperialism, and via the Campesina. So they were in Korea, and they were fighting certain Korean abuses in their country, and they were hauled into some kind of court in Geneva where they were threatened for violating trade by standing up to their own government. So she was pointing out that the Trans-Pacific Partnership is in fact now being run by essentially an international police force that prevents you even in a third world country from fighting against the domination of imperialism. Okay, so absolutely a terrible idea. But wait, who pushed the Trans-Pacific Partnership?
That was Obama.
Say it again?
I think that was Obama.
It was Obama. Folks, are we now going to act like the last 7.5 years didn't exist? I think Hillary Clinton is trying to get George Bush to just come out of the grave so he can get the people scared up, but they're trying to use Trump as a way to take the eye off Obama, who's still president. So when they say, we need a Democratic Senate, a Democratic House, against whom? Tell people right now, tell President Obama to end the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So the lie upon lie, Bernie Sanders, I'm sorry now. It's beyond the limits of populism. It's now pro-imperialist deception. Eric Mann, you're on Voices from the Frontlines. I'd love to hear from you. Eric@voicesfromthefrontlines.com. Let's get to the next one.
This election is about ending the 40-year decline of our middle class. The reality that 47 million men, women, and children today live in poverty. It is about understanding that if we do not transform our economy, our younger generation will likely have a lower standard of living than their parents.
Keep going. Let's hear some more Bernie.
This election is about which candidate understands the real problems facing this country and has offered real solutions. Not just bombast, not just fear-mongering, not just name-calling and divisiveness. We need leadership in this country which will improve the lives of working families, the children, the elderly, the sick, and the poor. We need leadership which brings our people together and makes us stronger. Not leadership which insults Latinos and Mexicans, insults Muslims and women, African Americans and veterans, and seeks to divide us up. By these measures, any objective observer will conclude that based on her ideas and her leadership, Hillary Clinton must become the next president of the United States.
Okay, it's getting worse, folks. This is Eric Mann. You're on Voices from the Frontlines. Are we going to be able to go? Are the phones working, you think? All right, so folks, since I'm going to try to get you as riled up as I can, positively and negatively, in about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, we'll go to the phone. It's 2:35 in Los Angeles. If you're listening all over the world, you can make the adjustments. Certainly by, let's say, 2:45, I want to go to 818-985-5735. Don't go to the phone yet because I would like you to listen to me and have a few more things to hopefully engage. Again, another thing about Voices on the Front Lines, I think we go to the phones more than most shows. And people have said to me often, God, Eric, you're really nice with that person who is basically opposing Black Lives Matter. You were very nice with that person who supported not just Israel, but supported Israel's abuse against the Palestinians. And I said, I wasn't nice. I just was listening. It's a person, a caller, listener-sponsored. I disagree with them strongly, but I try to talk to them in a way that I'm trying to convince them. I'm not assuming that all our listeners agree with us. That's why we go to the phones. But yeah, the majority of our people, of course, do support Black Lives Matter, do support self-determination of Palestinians, which is all the more reason when somebody has the guts to get on a not just liberal but revolutionary show that I truly show them the respect that they called. I address the ideas, hopefully, very aggressively. But yeah, if people have said I do it well, I appreciate it, but it's because I really think that. You know, I've had my ideas changed a lot. I've been very clear I thought I was right, and other people pointed things out to me. So I actually think I want to talk to that listener. And the other thing is that other listeners who think more like that person than you think. So I'm not just talking to the person on the phone. I'm talking to other listeners who might not go as far as that person, but who are entertaining that idea. And I need to defeat that idea, not defeat the person, okay? So we are going to go to the phones, 818-985-5735. But I want you to listen to the vagueness of what Bernie Sanders, when he gets to race and gender and women and immigration, he can't even come up with a number, a fact, a policy, because he knows the Democratic Party is another party of hate. There's two parties of hate. There's two anti-black parties in the United States. There's two anti-immigrant parties in the United States. We can debate which one you may think is better or worse. But notice what he says here. Not leadership which insults Latinos and Mexicans. What insults? What did they do, Bernie? And what do you plan to do differently? Hillary Clinton helped to build the wall that exists right now. Hillary Clinton and Obama bulked up the Office of Homeland Security. Hillary Clinton and Obama have been leading aggression against the people of Libya and overturned their government. They're carrying out war crimes in both Afghanistan and Iraq. How come you didn't mention that? You want to say that somebody insults Arabs without even saying what the insult is? We are living in the seventh and a half year of the Obama administration, and you're going to act superior to Trump, who hasn't done anything yet because the man is out of power and your party is in power. And it's profoundly dishonest, unethical, to go near these issues and not have one specific thing to say for black people, except to say, who insults Latinos and Mexicans, parentheses, vote Democrat. Insults Muslims, vote Democrat. And women, vote Democrat. African Americans, vote Democrat. And veterans, and seek to divide us up. No, folks. We are divided up. We're divided up by an imperialist system that practices national oppression, that practices women's oppression, that it's a system. And Trump is not dividing us up. Obama has been the deporter in chief. Obama just gave more weapons to the police. Note that the same Bernie Sanders that can tell you about Glass-Steagall and the 1% and the 0.75% and the 0.4%, he can't use one specific word that's pro-black, and even explain what he's for. So let me give you a couple examples, Bernie. This is Eric Manuel on Voices from the Front Lines. I promise, this is Bernie's speech that I write for him, that Hillary Clinton, when elected, will free 1 million black prisoners immediately. She will cut every police force in the United States by 50%. 50%, that's a number. Both the budget and the force. Hillary Clinton and I will end the Department of Defense 1033 program that gives military weapons to state and local police forces to be used against civilians. We'll end that. But more importantly, we won't just ask them to return the weapons. We'll burn the weapons. We'll make an immediate withdrawal from Iraq and Afghanistan and offer reparations to those countries. We'll grant reparations to the nations and people of Africa, African descent, and blacks in the United States in the form of massive social programs. We will tear down the wall that we've built, not the one that Donald Trump claims to build. There already is one. We'll dismantle the border police. We will free all the people in the prisons who are there for violations of immigration laws. There are so many specific things. We will have a jobs or income, not just a $15 an income job, because there's a lot of people who got no jobs. We will raise aid to families with dependent children to a specific living wage of at least $10 an hour for not working. All those things and more could be said. The social well, we will cut U.S. emissions by 50% of 1990 levels by 2025, starting now. Notice that, 50%, 1990 levels, 2025. Bernie has lost his ability to use numbers. It's very funny. When he discusses race, there's no nouns, there's no numbers, there's weak, weak sentiment proving he doesn't really care about the oppression of Latinos, Mexicans, Muslims, women, African Americans, and veterans. He didn't even talk about doubling the budget for the VA hospitals dealing with massive post-traumatic stress disorder. Bernie did not talk about the fact that of the two black men who did shoot police, both were returning veterans, both suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, which didn't mean they didn't have some possible political motivations. But you're not addressing that you must bring these troops home, because note, there's nothing about U.S. imperialism or its aggressions in his speech. This is Eric Mann, Eric at voicesfromthefrontlines.com. We're going to take one more quote from Bernie, and then we're going to go to the phones. Now you can call 818-985-5735. Let me tell you my basic premise, G, before I hit this quote, and then we'll hit it, okay? My basic premise is that Bernie Sanders ran a really decent campaign. At his height, he tried. He flirted with something about prisons. He flirted with something about police brutality. He took some good stands on Palestine, none of which he mentioned today. He tried to play around a little bit with racial justice, which was never his strong suit or even his deeply felt. He stayed with economic populism inside the empire. He basically said, I support U.S. imperialism, but within that, we need a $15 an hour wage. I support U.S. imperialism, but not as badly as others. And within that, I think you should have free college and free medical and free that and free that. And we want to break up Wall Street, but nobody knows what he's even talking about. Now, there were problems with his campaign, but overall, the Bernie campaign, I have to say, I give it pretty big props. But the Bernie speech to me is a flaming F. It's a capitulation. It's demagogic. It's a complete capitulation. And he's leading his troops back into the mouth of the dragon, a.k.a. Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and the Democratic Party. So the Bernie Sanders revolution ended last night, folks. Hand in your badge and let's join the Labor Community Strategy Center, or let's join Black Lives Matter, or let's join immigrant rights groups all over the country. Join something independent of and to the left of the Democratic Party that makes the fight of LGBTQ, the fight of women, the fight of immigrants, the fight of Muslims, the fight of blacks, all the groups that he mentioned that didn't do a damn thing for, those of you who are, of course, in those groups, those of us who work in those communities, we have to build our own independent movement. The efforts to reform the Democratic Party never work, and he gave it a hell of a shot, but give Ted Cruz, if that's the dude's name, credit. He said something to pee off Donald Trump, and Bernie Sanders did nothing to lay down a challenge to Hillary Clinton or the Democrats. I think I'm going to end there. It's 10:246. That's plenty. 818-985-5735. You heard Bernie. I'm Eric Mann. This is the show called Voices from the Frontlines. Now let's hear some of your voices. 818-985-5735. Roy in Compton. Let's let her go, Roy.
Okay, hello.
Hello.
I had to call you because when I first heard you really just hit the nail on the head with the most accurate missilized hammer in the world. I thought I had to get drunk last night because I thought I was the only one who was so disappointed. And the avenue, and I mean, and the exposure that you couldn't have did it no better. And now I need to know, what can we do now? I mean, I don't want to think that Bernie planned this all along, because I really loved the man when he was doing his thing, and it's now like everybody involved in high level politics is a gangster and a crook. And I want to have some kind of relevance to life where there's decent people in the world who has a semblance of power, and just get up there and lie like that. I don't want to think like that of Bernie, but then again, you know, the evidence that you just publicized, I mean, how can you go in? I mean, you laid it out. I mean, there's no better explanation of what happened than the way you explained it.
Brother Roy, listen, that means a lot. You know, when I speak on the radio, I don't know who's out there. I am speaking to you. I mean that in every sense. I've cut my drinking down quite a bit because this system can drive us all to drink. But listen, I'm just saying, brother, I'll probably have a drink with you. Don't worry about it. Last night I said, anyway. But wait, let me say something because I want to take some other people. Listen, Roy, 213-387-2800. Call the Strategy Center, my organization, and let's talk about what we can do, okay? There's plenty of hope, okay? But thank you so much. Please stay in touch with us. Eric@voicesfromthefrontlines.com. Anybody who really wants to talk to me, I will answer every email, every phone call, 213-387-2800. Roy, let's please stay in touch, okay? Lester from Hollywood.
Yeah, speaking.
You called me, my brother. What do you want to say?
I want to say that I agree with you 110%, but I have a little audition. I read Glenn Ford, Black Agenda Report, months ago, and he said that, watch out, Bernie is part of a scam. He's going to sheepdog people, drug him, and sheepdog it for Hillary. And I watched all the news and everything, and he gave some indication to it, like about when he said the damn emails and all that. I wouldn't say that if I want to be elected. And another thing he did, that he never responded to Hillary's big story about knowing what to do in the first day. Because everybody who want to do something, like even a burglar, knows what to do the first day. It's not a really smart slogan. And another thing...
Lester, I'm going to hold you there, Lester, because you're great. One thing I want to say, Glenn Ford, look, I have to say that. Glenn Ford's pretty cool. I mean, look, when Glenn Ford said that Bernie is a sheepdog to lead people into Hillary, I had to say I didn't agree with it. I thought he was probably onto something. But Glenn Ford, I owe you, if not an apology, an approval. This was pretty scary, okay? You don't take all these young people who gave their heart and soul to you and do what you did last night. You get up and say, folks, I'm sorry, I did as best I could. I'm going back into the fold, but you hold on. He told his people not to protest. He basically made them capitulate. And yeah, I think you're right that Glenn Ford gave you credit. Bernie, in the end, was the sheepdog that led all these really, and I have to say, beautiful young people right back into Hillary, and I don't think it may work. But thank you, Lester. The next person here, is it Larner? Larner, is that you?
Larner.
Larner, thank you, Larner. Yeah. What's on your mind?
I think it's pretty much along the line of the sheepdog comment you just made. I think Bernie was there
Glenn, let's give him credit. Glenn Ford made the comment. I just repeated it
repeated it, yes.
But go ahead.
He was there to talk the talk, but he doesn't walk the walk. I've seen issue after issue where he talks the talk, but when you look at his voting record, it goes contrary to what he says. Bernie was an independent from Vermont, independent socialist.
Yeah.
When you look at his record, he always voted with Democrats. He was always a Democrat. And so I think that he was there, and Vermont was the one state that has voted in a non-binding referendum to secede from the United States. The other state is Hawaii, who voted 49-point-something% to secede. And then, of course, Puerto Rico, but that's a different story.
Okay, Lerner, I'm going to let you go there. Let me say one thing, though. I want to say to the young people who worked for Bernie, and even that doesn't mean you have to agree with me, you still did great. That's not the point. That's not the point. Don't. This is not like the whole thing was a fraud, the whole thing was this. It's a complicated story. Bernie is making his move. But you're not Bernie, okay? You did great work. You made a lot of things happen. But you hold on to what you thought this campaign was about, okay? And it's not that he's a Democrat. George McGovern, one of the very best people in U.S. history, was a Democrat. Bobby Kennedy, yeah, Bobby Kennedy took on Johnson. Eugene McCarthy took on, and they really meant it. They went into the Democratic convention and they fought. I don't know what's happened. I do believe he's been reached, and I don't just simply believe, but that's not important. It's not about Bernie in the end. The reason I'm talking about Bernie is for the young people to say, all right, you took it as far as you can go inside the Democratic Party. Now let's build a movement in the streets again. Let's impact both Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, because Bernie Sanders is not going to lead. It's not his job to lead the struggle, you could say, against Hillary Clinton. My reason for trying to expose, and yes, I have to say I was blown away by the speech bad, but don't get discouraged. Don't get disillusioned. Just keep organizing. 213-387-2800. Eric at Voices from the Frontlines. Let's figure out the next step. Don't feel bad about the step you took. Feel proud of the step you took. But we got some work to do. Chalia, I hope I pronounced it, Chalia in Los Angeles. Chalia?
Yes, hello.
How you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
818-985-5735. Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to say that, yes, I do believe that Bernie started out with good intentions. I did not like this speech at all either. And a lot of people say that it's the younger folks that were supporting, Bernie. I am a middle-aged person, supposedly, and I was definitely a supporter of him. But I don't care if it appears as though Bernie turned out to be a sheepdog for Hillary Clinton. But there is absolutely zero chance, and I say zero chance, of me voting for her. I am definitely going for Jill Stein. She has been consistent. I voted for her the last time. I'm an African-American woman. Mature, and I am informed. So there are a lot of us in various age demographics that were actually looking forward to a new day, and I am disappointed.
Well, beautifully said, and let me add something, because, you know, we all learn as we speak. I'm going to stop the sheepdog conversation, because we're not sheep, and nobody who worked for Bernie is a sheep. He was trying,
exactly.
You know, And so I take, you know, that was Glenn Ford. So now I'm going to blame Glenn because he said it. No,
okay.
I'm just being a wise guy. I mean, look, what you said is beautiful, and it's right. It's not, look, I'm middle-aged based on my grandmother's 105. So, you know, I'm in my 70s now. But my point is that a lot of people my age, too, worked for Bernie. The question is that I want to take a minute for. The reason I've been in the movement for a long time is I don't get disillusioned, because I don't have a lot of illusions. Bernie did something good, and now when he makes a bad move, you just move on. You find your own independence. Some people are going to work for Jill. Some people are going to, you know, that we'll have other conversations on Voices. But I want to thank you. I hope you call me at 213-387-2800. I hope you would email me at eric@voicesfromthefrontlines, because I think you expressed it the best, and I really want to thank you for that. Okay?
Thank you.
Okay,
have a great day.
Stay in touch. Okay. Hector from Lakewood. You're on with Eric Mann on Voices from the Frontlines. Eric at Voices from the Frontlines. I want to get some emails tonight, folk. Hector, what's up?
Yes, Eric. Am I on the line?
Yes, you are, my brother.
Okay, so if you are if you're criticizing Bernie Sanders, are you suggesting the best option for the United States is Donald Trump?
I'm saying that I'm commenting on Bernie Sanders' speech last night. At other points, I'll be happy to talk about. I'm asking you if you felt that Bernie Sanders capitulated on race, did not challenge, overly praised the Obama administration, which was not required in his speech, acted, you know, you heard him. I don't have to repeat what I said. The choice about Trump is another conversation. Let me ask you a question. Did you think that Bernie Sanders in any way raised a challenge to Hillary Clinton on the issue of freeing black prisoners?
Well, I'm a Latino, but I think that Donald Trump is not an option for America. For
wait, Latinos. Sir. I'm assuming you're a Latino or Jewish or something. I asked you a question. Yeah. I'm assuming
no,
you
I'm
care
not,
about...
Latino.
No,
I'm
sir,
Latino.
What I'm saying is, do you care about freeing black people from prison?
I mean, Donald Trump is not an option for African-Americans, for Latinos, or for women. He's not an option. He's just an ignorant. He's a charlatan. He's just a... He wants to favor the rich. That's what Bernie Sanders said yesterday.
I agree with you. I agree with what you just said.
Donald Trump is not an option for Americans, not an option for Latinos. He's not an option for African-Americans. And I just wanted to ask you.
That's good.
Do you support, because, you know, I listen to Fox News.
Wait, sir. Sir, Hector, I'm going to have to let you go.
It seems like I'm listening from you, from you, you know.
Let's go to Andrew in Santa Monica. The answer, folks, is first of all, we don't endorse candidates on KPFK. I'll be writing about the elections. Tonight's conversation is about what did you think of Bernie Sanders' speech at the Democratic Convention. That was what we're talking about. Andrew in Santa Monica, I want to get you in. And Victor in downtown. Gee, what do we have, 2 minutes? 1 minute. I'm sorry. Andrew, you get the last word. Whatever that
was.
What's
Eric,
up?
Much respect. I want to comment on where to go from here. Is that okay?
No, please comment. Well, it's your minute. Yeah, whatever you want to say, my brother. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think we need to create real change and evolution, along with sustaining change, is to organize both on the national level and the local level. And I think where we're dropping the ball is the local level. And what I mean is we need to connect with people in our homes, in our workplace, and in our neighborhoods, form groups, form councils, start with one, two, as many people as you can in each of those groups.
Andrew, I got to let you go. I gave you the last word. So everybody, look, go online and listen to the speech yourself. Print it out, read the transcript, see if you think I was accurate. Go on our website, www.voicesfromthefrontlines. By tomorrow, this commentary will be up there. Keep thinking, keep writing. I'd love to hear from you, Eric, at Voices from the Frontlines. Send me an email. I'm a good emailer, and I'll get back to you. I really want to thank G. I want to thank Channing Martinez, an amazing producer. We went over this transcript. I tried to play as much as I could of Bernie Sanders so you could hear him in his own voice. Read the whole speech. I read it 5 times. Frankly, it's worse each time. So thanks, KPFK. Thanks, Alan Minsky, and getting me on at 2 o'clock. Hopefully, I'll see you next Tuesday at 4. Thank you, Nina Simone. All power to the people. This is Eric Mann. You're on Voices from the Frontlines. Take good care of yourselves. Without exemption, I will hand each charter course, each careful footstep along the byway, yeah.